those assembled in the hall shouldn't wear brocade, but rather things like paper robes. Those who understood the way in the past were all like this. Those assembled in the hall shouldn't wear brocade, but rather things like paper robes. I think in the history they seemed to wear paper robes, Chinese speech robes, which was pretty strong. Because they were very poor. They never wear brocade, silk, or brocade. Mainly they wore paper robes and also cotton robes. In modern age, I think there is the synthetic fiber and also silk. We have a since luxury. But basically, particularly for monks, when I was at a monastery, we couldn't wear silk and silk. So, cotton clothes, kimono, and cotton robe. That was allowed for monks to wear. But recently, anyway, we should remember how the ancestors practiced. Those who understood the way in the past were all like this. Anyway, the sense of alternative to be poor or to be rich a basic teaching of spiritual life is I think the poor, but that poor is not the sense of alternative to be poor or to be rich. In a sense, there is no alternative. If you become very serious religious person, then naturally people become very poor. In China, I think wearing the paper robe, I don't think they liked very much wearing the paper robe. But if you seek for the spiritual life, then naturally you become a poor, because under the situation of the poor, naturally you can understand human feelings, emotions, human life. You can really understand human life under unfavorable conditions. But that don't mean you should torture yourself or you should force yourself to have a grief cell. But it must be natural for spiritual seeker. So, important point is it is because spiritual person must be alive always under all circumstances, under the favorable condition or under the unfavorable condition. That is spiritual persons, religious persons, let's say responsibility, or because they has to help human beings. If you always live under favorable condition, always, you cannot help human beings. You cannot save human beings from their suffering. You don't understand human suffering, human pain, hard work, etc. So, spiritual person has to stand up for always, anytime, anywhere, under difficult conditions, under not difficult conditions. That's why they sometimes practice like this. Not sometimes, they practice like this. But we are very living in the very nice modern society. I don't know whether this is lucky for us or not. Anyway, I shouldn't tell you should be poor, or you should be always poor, or you should be rich. It depends on you. Next, do not enter the hall intoxicated with wine. If you do so by accident, you should make formal repentance. Do not have wine brought into the hall. Do not enter the hall smelling of leaves. And do not enter the hall intoxicated with wine. Of course, you understand, it's very important. Just like driving a car, you cannot drive a car exactly with alcoholic intoxication. You cannot do it. But in a sense, apparently, you can do the same with a sober mind, but inside is really intoxicated. Same apply to driving a car. If you drink wines and alcohol, very strong alcohol and wines and a lot. And also, if you're a very strong drinker, for a while you are intoxicated, but if you continue to drink, you can overcome intoxication. And apparently, you are very calm, very calm. The inside is completely intoxicated. But if you see that such a person, you don't understand whether he is drinking or drunk or not. But if let him do something, driving car completely, that's crazy driving. This is very common, so if to strengthen those souls sitting zazen appearing to you, you can do zazen quietly, but you can't do zazen exactly. So that's why it says do not drink all intoxicated with wine. But if you do so by accident, you know, original text it says literally, let me translate literally. He says, if you unwittingly forget and mistake, if you unwittingly forget and make a mistake, he says, you should make formal repentance. Very kind, compassionate. This is a rule completely, but he understands human beings. So that's why he says, if you unwittingly forget and make a mistake, you should make formal repentance. Originally it says repentance means formal repentance means three bows to Manjushri's after breakfast and you should apologize, Manjushri and all monks. That is a formal repentance. Do not have wine brought into the hall. Of course, you can't bring the alcohol into the hall. Do not enter the hall smelling of leaves, monstrous. We have completed the vegetarian dishes. So, monastery, we don't use leek, garlic, and green onion, or usual onion, pepper. And also, wild rocking ball, ROCAMBOLE, kind of a wild onion, and Thai garlic, THIBE, chai. Something like this. So we don't use these vegetables which have a very strong smells and very strong stimulation. That's why he says do not enter the hall smelling of leaf or garlic. Next, quarreling persons should go out of the hall because it hinders not only their own work in the way, but also that of others. Those who see such quarreling and do not stop it are equally at fault. So quarreling persons should go out of the hall because it hinders not only their own work in the way, but also that of others. And it was a monastery. They, all monks were very wild and very rough, because right after the Second World War, so most of 60%, no, not 60, no, yeah, almost 60% monks came back from the Second World War, so they were very rough. And what? Pretty often the fighting each other. Next day they watch out the monster. So because monastery is sangha, particular place we have to establish peaceful life, peaceful world, showing good example to all sentient beings. That is a monastery, that is a sangha. That's why if you part and fight in that situation, of course it is not right. But at any cost, you should live in peace and harmony. That is the most important. Whatever reason you have, that's in the beginning, when in the intimations, the assembly in the hall should be harmonious like the milk and the water, and promote the activity of the way. If you live in peace and harmony, then you can really promote further the Buddha way. If you fight each other, or intellectually, or emotionally, or psychologically, it is not good. It is really interrupting, bothering, destroying Buddha way. So we have to be very careful. Anyway, let in peace. So that's why you have to always concentrate on, you have to always focus on Buddha's way, Buddha's world, not the samsaric world. I told you this during this training. If you always stay in the samsaric world and think something, try to solve, find a solution, you can't find the perfect solution. No, you can't do it. And also you can't practice for the way in such situations. So you have to completely force yourself to be right in the middle of the universe in this way. Then constantly you should do it. Whatever you think, it is effective or it is not effective. Anyway, while you are in monastery practicing Buddha way, you have to be constantly in Buddha way. And it's the way you think, the way you act, the way you imagine, the way you deal with, the way you see your emotional or human problem. Anyway, you have to see everything in terms of Buddha way. That is most important. So, those who see such quality and do not stop it are equally at fault. It is also a fault, because you directly or indirectly you participate in fighting. That is really bothering. The bothering others. So you try to stop, you try to stop fighting. So that's why he says those who see such quarreling and do not stop it are equally at fault. Next, those who do not follow the admonition of the four should be removed. And those who have the same mind as the said perpetrators. And those who have the same mind as the perpetrators are also at fault. Those who do not follow the admonition of the whole should be removed. Anyway, this is the, I told you very often, the monastic rules, regulation conform the understanding of the depths of human life, not given by somebody. So, and also the monks practice in a way, standing always in the depths of human life, not samsaric world. So if you don't follow the monastic rules, it's really a perpetrator. So you should be removed. You should be leave. You should leave, or you should move out. And also, those who have the same mind as the perpetrators are also the fault. Is the same mind as the perpetrators means accomplice. If you don't follow the, you know, this is exactly perpetrator, and then if you don't, they give a piece of advice, and they, if you don't help, and, means in a sense, directly or indirectly, you participate in these ways. So, very naturally you become complex. This is also fault for monastery. So, we together, anyway, help each other. Mutually help each other. But don't fight at any cost. We try to be find peaceful way. Not only one person. Anyway, together we try to be. We try to together and help. That is important. Personally, if you do this, very often you create problems. So, we are careful. We have to give piece of advice to the people. Because personally, everyone has a arrogance and consciously or unconsciously proud of the himself or herself. Particularly if you have plenty experiences of practice or monastic life, you become arrogant. Very natural. Next, do not invite priests or lay people into the hall as this may agitate the assembly. Do not speak loudly with guests near the hall, and do not talk about practicing self-praising way in order to get offering. However, those who have a long-standing intention to practice or those who are on pilgrimage may be allowed inside. in such cases, you should always consult the director of the hall beforehand. So do not invite priests or lay people into the hall, as this may agitate the assembly. You shouldn't invite even the priests, even the lay people, because you agitate the assembly, because all monks anyway must live in samadhi, tranquility and dynamism in the Buddhist world, not in the samsara world. In the Buddhist world, we always, samadhi is constantly, you can stay in Buddha way, Dhamma world, or truth, which is called tranquility. Simultaneously, you have to act, you have to live there. This is a practice in the monastery, but if you invite a stranger, even the priest, lay people, people are surprised to see a stranger in the hall. So that is agitated. You really agitate people. It's not good attitude. So as best as we can, we should keep the circumstances of priest monks' practice in peace and just like the water of the liver going constantly. Do not speak loudly with guests near the hall. This is also very important. Not only speak loudly before the Dogen Zen says, the talking loudly and also blowing nose loudly, walking the curiosity with a pit-pat. When you walk inside of the Zendo, you try to walk quietly, but if you walk around the Zendo, you really care. But when you come to Zendo, before you get into the Zendo, that is also practice for you. Walking in the hallway, walking outside near the Zendo, this is also inside of the Zendo. So you have to walk quietly. You shouldn't anyway walk with the pit path. That's why, you see, he says, do not speak loudly with guests near the hall. And do not talk about practicing self-praising way in order to get offerings. This happens often. In the age monastery, people believe in a monastery where basic practice goes. So the monks individually really talk about how strict practice goes. In a sense, say self-praising. He says, do not talk about practicing self-praising way in order to get offerings. Particularly if the people who are related with you, they naturally will say something. That is, consciously or unconsciously, the mind works on currying favor with. People you are very friendly, you are intimate with, talking about retreat or practice them to get the praise or to get the, not only the materialistic material offerings, but also mental offerings. So during the session I mentioned anyway, I don't think you should talk about your own things so much. This is my experience. If you talk about your own things, whatever is good or bad, it is good for you. So as best as you can, you should talk about you in public place, because people misunderstand you. And also, unconsciously, personally, you don't notice the very minute vibration of human consciousness to have self-praising and putting down some other things. It's always psychologically happening. However, those who have a long-standing intention to practice, or those who are on pilgrimage, may be allowed inside. As I told you before, I think, if there are some individuals who have long-standing intention to practice, means, anyway, then there are some individuals who really want to have opportunity to see, to meet the monks practicing in Zendo. So at that time, you should get permission from the director of the hall beforehand, and you can chant the super in Zendo, and you can invite those people inside of Zendo. Those who are on pilgrimage may be allowed inside. In such cases, you should always consult the director of the hall beforehand. Next, we should start observing this hall just as in the monks' hall, never neglect the morning practice or the evening request for instruction. You should practice Zazen in this hall. This hall means rare Zazen hall. Rare Zazen. I told you before, two Zazen halls in those days. Front Zazen hall, rare Zazen hall. So in this case, real Zazen hall. I don't know, maybe real Zazen hall was used maybe by the, I don't know how, those days. In each monastery we have, recently we have two Zazen hall. One is the on top of the hill, the other one is the bottom of the hill, open to visitors and lay Buddhists and, who want to practice there. So, anyway, maybe we can call that the other one on the bottom of the hill open to the lay Buddhists, and say could be called rear judging hall. he said you should practice that in real dating, or just as in the monks, or maybe real dating or words might be used for the place, for the people who were interested in doing that, separate from monks, dating hall. I don't know exactly. So just as in the monks hall, that's what he said. So even the people who practice in the real dating hall should follow the same way of practice as the monks who practice in the front dating hall. So never neglect the morning practice or the evening request for instruction. morning practice means the prana is called the chosan. The evening request for instruction is called bosho. I don't know exactly now. I can tell you definitely the difference between the chosan and bosho. Maybe a little difference between, but I cannot tell you now. So I have to check. But anyway, generally speaking, chosan and bosho, the morning practice or the evening request for instruction are from whom you can have a piece of advice for your practice, for your understanding of Buddhism. After breakfast, after dinner, that is chosan or bosho. So, next, at meantime, those who drop eating bowls or utensils on the floor should be fined according to the regulation of the monastery. at mealtime, those who drop eating bowls or utensils on the floor because Buddha bowl is eating bowls are not usually utensils. We use them every day. The Buddha bowl is the symbol of Buddha's head, Buddha's body. So we have to deal with the Buddha bowl very carefully, as the same way as dealing with the Buddha's head, the Buddha's body. That's why the Dogen Zenji mentions those who drop eating bowls or utensil on the floor should be fined. And that means you don't find the originally it says clean the lamp, oil lamp, just like that. Oil lamp. Very old style of oil lamp. Every day, at the one day or all night, anyway, we have to clean all lamps used in the monastery. This is a fine. This is a fine. If you drop eating bowls or utensils, we apologize, monk, Manjushri monk, and you have to polish. Not all lamps. So that is a fine. According to the regulation of the monastery, this is a regulation of the monastery. Sometimes if you fight, sometimes you have to have this kind of fine to polish the lamps all day. because lots of lamps there. Now we have the electricity, so we don't have lamps. But in ancient time, they used a lamp, so if you try to polish, it's very textile. Next is the admonition of the Buddhists and the ancestors should always be followed. The pure roots of the monastery are to be inscribed on your bones and mind. The admonition of the Buddhists and ancestors should always be followed because pure roots of the monastery are to be inscribed on your bones and mind. This is not the rules and regulations given by somebody, like morality. Anyway, these rules and monastery, anyway, the rules and regulations of the monastery should be something which real life penetrates your body, your skin, muscle, bone, and mind. This is a need. If you don't, you cannot have the opportunity to deepen your life. So, purely reason is anyway to deepen, to enhance your life. If you deepen your life, very naturally you can help. That is the means. That's why admonition of the Buddhist ancestors, because Buddhist ancestors live like this. So even though you don't like or you like, complete beyond this, anyway, that's why in the monastery lives like this. The question is the relation between personal relation with the teacher. I don't know, I cannot tell you now. You should find what is personal relation between the teacher and the there is a good example. Two kids and masters, and one of the habits today is monastery. lived in the 19th century. But he couldn't in Kentucky every day. Maybe according to modern sense, maybe he might be out of power. But anyway, he couldn't he needed out of power to happen every day. And he's the younger Dhamma brother was very mad at him because in case Zenji always drank sake so much. One day he made a mischievous putting the sake bottles. Hang the sake bottles with his neck, from his neck, while he was slept. violin that jazz in the English that time. He died in 1853. He was very strict, very rough education, particularly to his disciples. And then unfortunately he passed by his rooms and found the 20th engine with such a bottle hanging from his neck. So immediately he got into his room and gave up 20 blows to his engine. But he didn't understand that moment when he struck the head. But maybe on the way, on during the receiving test, the receiving chesakra, he might be noticed. But anyway, his teacher gave 20 blows. But he didn't say anything, just received 20 blows. He was pretty noticed for the typical monk who was audacious, was undaunted and showed a great devotion to his teacher. He never talked back, whatever it is. In common sense, you don't understand this. Because in common sense, you see this kind of story as very senseless, a senseless way of dealing with human beings. But in the spiritual sense, it is natural. I don't think it is not the kind of a mind with your teacher. In San Francisco, somebody called me, he really mind with his teacher. And then something happened, he was really confused. I don't get to mind with your teacher. Because still there is a Buddhist truth and also a Catholic faith. And also if you mind with your teacher, and actually you want to set the teacher on, you want to set the pedestal on the pedestal. And the teacher also becomes put on the pedestal. And forgetting completely to temper religious places, fathers. So you have to complete the watch to the teacher, but not much. because it's the mind, very naturally, there is attachment, human attachment. Attachment makes you crazy. You don't see exactly the person in the thoughts, because you're attached to the only one. Just like a mother and child. You really love the child, your child, because you have a very strong attachment, completely beyond the human statement. So, not much money. With the full devotion means you shared the thought to the teacher, but simultaneously you must be always sober. You cannot be intoxicated. So, you shouldn't deal with the teacher or teacher the kind of body, just a human being. You cannot do it either. Because if you see the teacher as just human beings, you cannot see the Buddhist aspect, the great nature of the human beings. So basically, you have to stand up anywhere, constantly in the Buddhist world. Buddha of teacher, Buddha of disciple. That practice means complete respect, total respect. And then you have to act in that level. For respect. And then you can devote yourself to teaching. But on the other hand, when you devote, if you show your devotion, very natural devotion shows various ways, various different discrimination, different problems come up. So if you show the devotion, your devotion, that devotion is not pure exactly. But basically you constantly stand up in a pure sense of the human world, so-called Buddha, deep respect, anywhere, under all circumstances. And then you show the devotion, but that devotion shown by you is not pure. That's why there is a little bit complicated situation. So you have to reflect upon your devotion and also teacher. Be careful for teacher to accept through devotion. Constantly there is something to sober each other. You must be sober. You cannot be intoxicated. For this, your practice must be a very serious, in a sense. in the practice level, two things work together. Complete the path beyond human speculation. But on the other hand, devotion shown in dualistic world is not pure, so you have to reflect on your devotion. For the teacher has to reflect upon the devotion shown by the students and so simultaneously those two work together. Right? You can do it. So, in a sense, sometimes this kind of practice is not something you can get all this merit. Not merit. Transferred. Not the benefit to the sense. In common sense, it's very difficult to have usual benefit to this. But for a long run, it's really beneficial. But for such a period of time, you cannot get the benefit. Because so much pain. But you have to tolerate it. Which is illusory. Then Master in Japan, he says to monks, if you have a benefit, if you have a beneficial action or beneficial result, it's not good for you. If you want to be a really good monk, you shouldn't have benefit. Means, you can't get the benefit anyway. That's pretty hard. Yeah. But for a long run, it's really beneficial. But that's why the teacher has to be very careful, because very unreasonable situation in which teacher and disciple has to live. And educate teacher and transmit real Buddhist Dhamma. It's not the teaching, it is something you have to learn through the actual world. Living teacher and living life. So if you have all this feeling good and from the teacher's way, and then it's not good, it is not good. So I think that's why it's very strict teaching is very good for you. But we don't like it. So, that is rules, monastic rules. Okay? So, pure rules, that's why he says pure rules of the monastery are to be inscribed on your bones and mind. Last one is you should wish to be serenely composed for your entire life and to practice the way non-intentional, anyway. As discrimination, we have to anyway maintain this rules and practice of Buddha way. So you should wish to be serenely composed for your entire life. Anyway, it says and to practice the way non-intentional. In the last, Dogen Zen says, these regulations are body and mind of the unstationed Buddha. Respect and follow them. This is written on the 25th day, 4th month, 1st year of and all 1239. So he was in Kyoto, he built the Koshoji Temple, and started new Zendo. The first time for Japanese to have very authentic traditional Zendo in Japan. So he opened Zendo first in Kyoto, and then many monks came practice under him. So first he built the front sendo, and later it was not good enough because so many people. So he built a rear sendo. So it's not rear sendo, so double sendo. Then when I time